Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast, and on this episode, I am joined by Roy Henson, the founder and executive director of AllNets. AllNets is a nonprofit organization geared to providing opportunities for basketball players to grow on and off the court. On this episode, Roy and I talk about how he started AllNets, why he decided to leave sales to go back to school, and how to persevere through obstacles and adversity. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. I'm here with Roy Henson, and I am super excited for this one because you, my friend, are involved in a lot of different things, and I want to hear all about them. So how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's halfway through the week, so just getting ready for the end of the week and hopefully finishing strong for sure.
Absolutely. I love that. So like I said, you're involved in a lot of different things. So can you kind of take us through and catch us up to speed with some of the projects you're working on now? What are the things that you're involved in, kind of what you do on a day-to-day basis?
So it's changed up a lot. So I finished my MBA at Lynn back in 2018. Since then, I was working in sales at that time, and knew when I started my MBA, I went back to get out of sales. I was burnt out. I didn't have any motivation to kind of get into that, to be in that industry any longer. And it took me, I knew I wanted to get out, and just, I knew the MBA was my tool to get out of that area. So while I was getting my MBA, I started a nonprofit. I wanted to be around basketball. I played basketball my whole life. So I wanted to find a way to be around it as much as I could while helping youth and just helping them to kind of find a path forward and be able to help them get over some of the pitfalls that I came through in my time playing basketball. That has been probably one of the best things I ever did. I was one of the hardest things I've ever done because it's a lot of things that go into starting a nonprofit or starting a business in general. So it's not even, they're like, oh, it's a nonprofit. You don't have to worry about making money. Yeah, you still got to worry about making money and all those types of things. But the nonprofit's been around for, we're going on year four now. We just finished our fiscal year at the end of July, June. And so we're just, now it's just working on the paperwork and getting registered and finishing up all the paperwork that has to go to the state and the federal government for all those filings and stuff like that. I also founded a company called RH3 Investment Group. It's a holding company. The holding company owns a moving company called Moving You Transports. We work with, we own a 15 passenger van that we rent out all over South Florida. Being able to help families kind of get to where they need to go when they want to go on a trip. And a lot of, since the pandemic, especially during the pandemic, a lot of people started wanting to take road trips. And when you have a road trip, you want to be able to fit everybody in one car, especially with gas prices the way they are. So having a 15 passenger van kind of helps those things out. And so we've been fortunate enough to do pretty well this summer, and hopefully being able to expand the fleet here soon. So it's been really good. So I'm enjoying it, that growth as well.
So what was there a gap between you finished your undergrad, then you went into sales, and then you came back to get your MBA? Is that correct?
So I finished my undergrad back in 2010. I was due to basketball and wanting to play as much as possible, and finding out in college that basketball is a very big business. And so you, as just wanting to go to school and be a business major and go to school, yeah, that's all well and good, but you have to follow, pay attention to your coursework very closely because of the NCAA, there's a lot of rules that go into it in terms of you have to have a certain amount of credits towards a certain major each year that you're in college to be able to be eligible to play basketball. And so me transferring a couple of times during my early college career, my credits were mostly gen ed. So, and a lot of those gen ed were more in the sociology and social sciences field. And so when I got to Gardner-Webb in 2006, I was in a situation where my grades were fine. It was just, they were more tailored based on the courses that were available at Gardner-Webb. they were only available to, I would only have enough credits to be a social science major and be eligible to play basketball. It was one of those things where I didn't know that going in. On my visit for college, we were talking to all the business professors and everything like that. I was super excited about their program and everything. But when I got there, I found out that wasn't the case, which kind of led to like, what the heck did I come here for? That type of stuff. And ended up getting my degree in sociology with a criminal justice emphasis. And then it was like, now what? I have this degree. I don't know what it is. I want to be in banking and want to be in doing these different things, and not being able to kind of get my foot in the door with those things. Cause a lot of things that I had to kind of overcome in my job interviews at the time was to be able to say like, yes, this is how I got here. This is why I have a sociology degree, but I guarantee that I work my butt off to be able to learn the things that are needed to be able to be successful in the roles that were out there. And unfortunately, in many cases, that wasn't as much of an opening for growth, and did not do very well in a lot of those interviews because of those hard questions that you couldn't really answer and didn't really have a good way to kind of get around it. So what I ended up doing, I ended up in sales because usually sales is pretty low barrier to entry. Ended up being very good at it, being able to talk, be personable, have a nice smile on my face. Like those were all big selling points for to be successful in sales. So I ended up doing very well in the career. One thing about for me is I'm more of an introvert, even though I can talk my butt off. And it's one of those things where I can talk all day, but I get to a point where it's like, okay, I don't want to talk anymore. And it doesn't matter how much you're paying me, whatever the case may be, I get to a point where I just get burnt out. And I'm like, it doesn't matter how much you guys are paying me, I'm not going to talk anymore. Like, we're good, I'm done. And I have to move on. And so that was kind of my early career in sales. Like I did insurance, I worked for Wells Fargo, I worked for different credit unions and as well as like big companies like Enterprise and stuff like that. And it's just that it was that same thing. I had great success. I was very good at what I did. It was just, I would get to a point or they would say, this is what you have to do to move up. And I would do X, Y, and Z to move up. And I did it too fast. And then they had an excuse. And then I was like, okay, no, this is not how, this is what you said. If you do X, Y, and Z, we're going to promote you to the next level. And sometimes that wasn't the case either. So it's just finding out, like, learning the hard way about how the corporate structure works and how promotions are held and stuff like that. And if somebody had told, and the only thing that's kind of really messed up about it is just no one tells you. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you set the expectation of, okay, this is how it's going to work, this is what's going to do, and if you do these things, we're going to do our best to help you move up in the company. And it may take you 18 months, it may take you 2 years, but we're committed to helping you get to that next level. If they came to you like that, I would definitely understand. But unfortunately, a lot of the guys promise you the moon and tell you a bunch of things just what you want to hear to make you stay around and be happy as long as they can. And so it's just one of those things, those hard lessons that you kind of learn coming up in your career, where it's like, okay, you have to kind of understand that that's just the corporate structure. And especially on the sales side of the business, it's a high turnover part of the business. It's ever changing. It's you have to be very flexible in terms of what the things change overnight and people change overnight, and being able to continue to be successful, you have to be able to kind of block all that out and continue to do the things you do on day in and day out to be able to be successful. And even when a product changes, or if a spiff or a what is it called spiff or a
you're gonna be out to dry here because I'm not coming from the
I'm trying to think of the word for it. Or if a product changes, or if the terms of the sales kind of change, they can change at any point. And it's just like, you have to just kind of roll with it. And you have to tell a customer that you've been working on for the last month that like, hey, yeah, this changed yesterday. I'm sorry, but this is how it is now. And you still want to work with us, that type of thing. And so at about 2000, about 2015 is when I started looking into stuff doing outside of sales and started looking into the basketball stuff. Did my first for-profit. I had a for-profit business that allowed me to do that was working with kids and basketball, and realized that at my price point that a lot of kids were being left out in the cold and not able to access my services. And so I wanted to make sure it was more easily accessible to the kids and their parents. And so I kind of looked into nonprofit, and I was like, okay, so this is going to be a lot of work. So let me try to, let's really put some time in it. So it took about 3 years. And then when I got to Lynn to start my MBA program, I really took each class like it was for all nets. And so every project, every assignment, everything was tailored towards all nets. Like it was literally my business plan was each class I was taking was literally just honing in on the business plan, honing in on how the company is going to operate in these environments and how I'm going to be able to handle any stresses and changes to the markets, and whether it's recession or whether it's a pandemic, or well, we didn't have the pandemic at that point, but it was just when recessions come or any changes to the market, how are you going to be able to be successful in those environments? And it's helped us a lot, especially during the pandemic. It kind of helped too much in certain cases, because especially a lot of the funding and stuff that was out there for us, we didn't get to use, because we actually grew during the pandemic and were very successful in the pandemic, and kind of too successful in the pandemic to be able to kind of get a lot of the funding that was out there for businesses at the time, which was a blessing and a curse at the same time. But we're very fortunate to have made it out, because we know a lot of businesses didn't, and that's been one of the tough points of what we're going through in our economy and in the economy in the United States right now. It's just businesses are still trying to pay catch up, and it's been a tough environment for sure.
So I want to go back before we dive a little bit more into AllNets and that whole process of setting up that nonprofit. Is you're in this more corporate environment, you're doing sales, and you know, you're going, you know, taking your lumps, doing all of that. Where do you draw the line between, all right, this is an experience where, all right, this may not be my favorite, I'm learning lessons, hard lessons, and all right, it's getting to the point where it's time to move on? Because I think that's especially in the sports world, that's a common topic, you know, like whether it's starting not in an environment, you know, especially with transfer portals now, you can come from any which direction, you know, on when guys or girls, you know, want to move. And that, you know, also exists within the business world. So where do you draw the line and say, hey, no, I got to stick through this for my personal growth? And then no, it's come to the point where for my personal growth, it's time to move. So how do you balance that?
It's a tough decision that you have to make. But ultimately, I think as a society, we've kind of gotten very, like, especially for athletes, especially you hear the term soft thrown out there all the time, where it's like, oh, these guys just can't handle any sort of criticism or anything like that. And it's just one of those things. It's something that's been very prevalent, and especially in terms of sports and stuff like that. But there's not really a good place. I think it's one of those things that depends on the situation, the person, and the people that are being, that you have to deal with on a daily basis. But most places are there to help you be successful. Because if you're successful, they're going to look good, and they're going to be successful, and the team as a whole is going to be successful, which will ultimately help everybody move up at the end of the day. So you can't take criticism the wrong way, because it's ultimately, yeah, there's going to be criticisms that are going to come, whether you're doing your great job or whether you're lacking or kind of floundering in your position. But it's how leadership kind of helps you along and helps you kind of get through those hard, tough times, and how your attitude towards those criticisms kind of reacts. Because you can sit there and accept that criticism, internalize it, and then say, oh, it's all their fault. They don't know what they're talking about. I do this, this, and this. Or you can kind of take a deep look and kind of do some internal reflection and be like, okay, yeah, I am doing this. I am making excuses here. I could be doing this a little bit better, this a little bit better, and just trying to make those changes and trying to grow. And because when they see you really trying and putting in the effort, especially in a sales environment where you have to, it's all about activity and making sure you're reaching out to an X amount of people and per day and per week and per month to be successful, because these guys have it down to a formula at this point where it's like, if you do this and this and this, it will come at some point. The way you speak, your script, your all those things kind of will come into a place where it will come. You know, you'll get it, you'll memorize it, you'll be able to overcome objections and all those things. But the activity part is something that you can't teach. That's effort. And some people put in effort, a lot of people don't put in effort. And that's why they find themselves having difficulty in positions like that. And so that's one of those things. But in terms of staying and actually kind of making that decision to stay or to make a jump, it depends on, one, do you have anything better down the line? And I think before you jump, you need to have a place to land. And I think that's the biggest thing I would say. It's like, I know a lot of people who just up and say, I'm done with this place and leave. And then they don't have anything to fall back on. And then they kind of find finances, they put themselves in debt and can kind of put themselves in a bad spot just because, oh, they didn't want what this guy said to him. And it's like, okay, you can't do that. It's not going to help you in the long run. What I ended up doing, when I started my MBA, the company I was at, I had been there, I had just started. I left TD Bank and started with them about 2 months into my MBA. And I was like, this is my last sales job. Whatever the case may be, I'm going to try to make it work. I will try to do as well as I can in this job and stay until I cannot stay anymore. And I'm going to hopefully, by the time I graduate, I'll be able to be able to kind of internal transfer over to another part of the business within the same organization and kind of grow my career with this company. I like the people, I like everybody around it, and was hoping that would have been the case. By the time I graduated, and I was very open and transparent about what my goals were within the company. I'm like, I'll kill it on the sales floor for you guys, but just know I would like to be here at some point within this organization. And whatever I need to do to be able to grow to get to that point, I am willing to do. And so they were very receptive. I did very well. I was one of probably like two guys in the 3 years that I was there that I actually got promoted from the SDR to an account executive. And then I went from account executive to a business development representative within the 3 years I was there. And, but it was one of those things where I found out towards the end that it was like, we're not gonna send you over there. We're not gonna send you over to the operations side. This is what you have. And I was like, okay, I've done this. I've been very successful. I've made you guys a ton of money at this point. Like, if this is it, then I'm sorry. I have to kind of make a decision for myself. And I've got this MBA now. I have my nonprofit. My nonprofit was able to kind of give me a small salary where I didn't have much of a pillow, but I had a little bit of a pillow. And so it was one of those things where I took that. I had about five months of runway where I could put a lot of effort into my nonprofit and really put some time into it and help that grow as well, which was one of those things where I would not have been able to do it any other way. Would not have been able to do a lot of the stuff. Like our travel team had gone from one team to three teams. I had probably like 1.5 coaches that were kind of in and out that were helping at the time. And it was just like, it was a chaotic summer, let's put it that way. But it was a lot of fun. Like we took the kids to Atlanta. We went all over the place playing basketball, and we won a good amount of tournaments. We were in a lot of championship games, and those kids had a great summer that they'll always remember from it. But I realized that I still had to find on to that next spot, and I wasn't able to find anything due to how my resume was and things of that nature, because I realized I had a sales resume. My resume has everything was tailored to getting a sales job. So I had to kind of learn that I had to retool and rethink everything to be able to find the job that I wanted. So I ended up taking a teaching job back in last August, a year ago, took that job, and definitely wasn't the job I was looking for, wasn't what I thought I would be doing, but I knew it wasn't sales. So I was like, that was my only criteria going into my search. And so I was able to find that job, got a lot of great skills, met a lot of great people, enjoyed working with kids, which was already something that I was already doing with my nonprofit. So it was kind of in that wheelhouse and was able to leverage my skills working with my kids to be able to working with the kids that at the school. It was an alternative high school called Believers Academy, and it was a blast. They do a lot of great things. They're also a nonprofit. So I got to see a lot of things from a different perspective as a nonprofit, and knew also that I was probably not going to be a teacher for very long, but it was just something I could do to kind of get myself to the next level. I ended up taking some time off. My son was born in February. So I used those couple months off in between not sleeping from the having a baby, to be able to retool my resume. And I was able to leverage the fact that I had two companies that I was doing accounting for. I did all the accounting for my nonprofit as well as for my for-profit business. And so all those filings and stuff like that I've learned and over time, and was able to leverage those things into what now is my bit, which was now a company I work for, Genesis Community Health, which is a nonprofit that works with Southern Palm Beach County and through two dental offices and two medical offices, and works with two schools, Atlantic High School and Boynton Beach High School, providing nursing services for those schools as well. And so I was able to find my first accounting job just by leveraging the skills and the work I put in outside of my day job. Mm-hmm. And it's, to this day, I've best decision ever made, and best, I couldn't be happier at this point. Like, it was finally in the place that I wanted to be. And over this past, like, we've only been here about 3 months now, but it's night and day to like mood, and just, it's such a different atmosphere. And it's definitely new, it was the move I needed to make at the end of the day.
This is what I love so much about doing this show, is because I love hearing these winding roads, these stories that go in and out and up and down and all these things. And it's like, and I know you're far from finished with the things that you want to do, which is so exciting. You know, I hope for you, but also just for me, you know, independently to hear about too. So it is so cool to hear about that. Now I want to dive a little bit more into the nonprofit side of things. Before we get too deep into All Nets, can you kind of give a little bit of an explanation as the differences between profit and nonprofit? Because like you mentioned at the beginning, you know, I think that is a common thought. Oh, you run a nonprofit, you don't need to make money. So yeah. Can you kind of dispel that myth a little bit?
Yeah. So nonprofits are companies that they're corporations still. They're still businesses at the end of the day. The main difference is what they do with the profits that the organization makes. When you have a for-profit business, those corporations amass millions and millions of dollars, or hundreds of thousands of dollars if you're a smaller business, obviously. But their profits, they can take and they can put into a savings account, or they can put into an investment, and it doesn't have to go anywhere. They don't have to tell anybody what they're doing with it. It doesn't have to be planned for in any way, shape, or form. Nonprofits, on the other hand, they have to utilize all of the funds that they have. And the ways that they make money are a little bit different as well. For-profit and nonprofits can go have grants. Let me see. Nonprofits have a more strict policy on terms of what they can do with the money that they get and where it's going. And they have to be able to show, and the reporting on it is a lot different from a for-profit to a nonprofit. And so for myself, and you have to have a board of directors, and your board of directors is the actual owner of the business. I think one of the scariest things I heard when I was kind of doing my research about the starting a nonprofit was the ability of being able to lose your nonprofit. And I had a gentleman who started a nonprofit with a friend, and they started a board. His friend knew a bunch of people in high places that could grow this board to and make it more solidified and get more funding and all these things, which was awesome. So he was like, yeah, let's do it. But then that board started taking the business into a different direction from what they ultimately started. And so the young man ended up trying to change that direction and try to get the votes to make those changes and get people out that needed to, and realized he didn't have any friends in his own board. And everybody was following this path and was on that same page there. And he ended up getting voted out of his own nonprofit and had to start from scratch and had to start all over again. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I was like, okay. I found out what was the bare minimum I needed to start my nonprofit and have a board and everything like that. And I started with that bare minimum. And to this day, I still have that bare minimum board of 3 people that I kind of been able to work with and grow and do things with. But I'm at a point now where I'm starting to need more people in. And I have some people that are kind of earmarked that wanted to be involved with the organization. And I said, I was just like, we're still getting to a point where I can start to add those things, but we're getting closer to that point now. And I'm looking forward to have those people join us in the near future.
And that's such an important thing to make that distinction of, because I think, like you mentioned, like a lot of people don't understand that distinction. And
yeah, that was an eye opener.
I'm sure. And so talking a little bit more about AllNet specifically, you mentioned that part of the reason why you wanted to start this was to help the next generation of players and kids in the community avoid some of the same pitfalls that you might have fallen in, throughout your time growing up in basketball, out of basketball. So can you kind of talk about, what are some of those pitfalls and how AllNets is helping them work through those?
Yeah, no, definitely. I was, I think I alluded to it earlier when I was during the college search and trying to find what schools to go to and kind of what opportunities and which some situations were better than others. And when you're young and when you're 18, it's like, I just want to play basketball. Wherever I go, like, am I starting? Like, those are the kind of things that questions that you're asking. Like, am I starting? What's my playing time going to be like? Am I going to have a scholarship? Is like a secondary thing when your parents are like, so do you have a scholarship? But like as a kid, you're like, yeah. So it's like one of those things. So, but when I ended up walking on my freshman year of college to Texas A&M at Corpus Christi, and I kind of learned that out-of-state tuition is real, and it's a lot. My 1 year of college in Texas A&M, I dropped like $45,000 in student loans to be able to afford just 1 year.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no, this is not, I'm not doing 3 more years of this. I can't, like, it's not responsible of me when I had scholarships that I could have taken advantage of. And I wanted to play for a big school. And so I ended up coming back to Florida, ended up coming to Palm Beach State, got a scholarship there to play, and paid there for 2 years, and then got a scholarship up to Gardner-Webb. And that's kind of where I had all those interviews with the business program. I was like, okay, I want to do this. I want to make sure I was going to get playing time. I was like, all right, cool. And didn't realize that the NCAA rules and all those issues. And so I was like, wow. I would have known I wouldn't have come here. I was kind of feeling bad because I felt like I got kind of like baited and switched on the opportunity. And that kind of soured my relationship with my coaches over time. And it came to a head at one point. I didn't really play much play much basketball there at that time. And so what ended up happening is I had another opportunity to switch schools. And so I had 2 schools, a coach that had been recruiting me since I was in high school. And I kind of didn't end up choosing his school for just had a feeling. It's one of those things. I had a feeling. I had one of my assistant coaches at Palm Beach State had played for him back in the day, and it's just still just had a feeling. And so ended up going to another school and working out, had a scholarship. The guy's sitting here telling me everything that I everything I wanted to hear. He's like, I know you're in a major you don't want to be in. He's like, I can promise you that I'll give you everything you soon as you even if you're done, when you're done playing basketball, you will give you a scholarship to be able to pursue your business degree and get whichever everything you wanted out of it. And I was like, oh my God, really? Like, that's a thing. He's like, yeah, no, we'll take care of all that. And I was like, that's the school I should have gone to, obviously. But when you're 19, you hear it, and then you get into another situation. It's usually the last sales pitch you hear is the one you're probably going to end up going to. And so I ended up, the last visit I went to was down to the school with where I knew the guy and the coach I played for that I had that feeling about. And somehow I ended up signing there. And it was exactly why I found out why I had that feeling at that time. But just kind of being able to manage those types of being able to go through all those tough times and making those tough decisions. And I really didn't have a lot of parent involvement in those decisions. My parents actually gave me a lot of leeway and kind of to make my own decisions in those areas, and which I appreciate. Like I didn't make, looking back, I didn't make all the right decisions, but I was able to say, like, I got a chance to sit down, like really think about it and really kind of try to make the best decision with the knowledge I had at the time. And so my goal at All Nets is to be able to help kids who have dreams of being able to play basketball and grow on the court, but also helping them to understand what they need to do off the court and where they need to grow on off the court to be able to be successful. Because especially in basketball, it's especially in just sports in general, stuff you do on the court is one thing, but it's all the temptation, all the stuff that comes off the court that derails the Michael Jordans that you never heard of, the LeBron Jameses that you never heard of, the Antonio Browns that you never heard of that were great athletes, but just some reason they didn't make it. And it's just like, why didn't they make it? And it's usually something that was off the court or off the field. And so being able to kind of help those kids understand that you have to have both. And it's not many people that have both, because there's 500 NBA players, active NBA players right now, and there's probably like 15 to 20,000 out of the hundreds of millions of kids that have come through college and basketball and football and tennis and golf. Like there's only a few that make it, and it's the ones that are able to stay focused and trying to teach them the skills that help you stay focused and stay honed in on what your goals are and what's really important to you to be able to make your dreams come true. And so that's kind of what we do here at All Nets.
So how do you balance that with your players and get them to buy into that important fact of, okay, the on the court stuff helps with the off the court stuff helps with the on the court? How do you get the buy-in for that?
So we are in the process of, we piloted a leadership program. So a lot of leadership programs that are out there, they're more for adults. They, you know, you have like Leadership Del Rey, you have Leadership Florida, Leadership Palm Beach County. Mostly for adults to be able to go learn skills, grow, network, all those things. And so what I did was able to kind of take a lot of the things that I was in Leadership Del Rey. So taking a lot of things that I took from that that program, I learned a lot during it, had a great time, and being able to put it towards a high school setting and being able to help the kids kind of see, put them in places and show them things that they would not have seen before, like being able to learn about transferable skill sets in school, being able to learn about financial literacy, learning about how to write a resume in high school. That was something I didn't learn until college. I didn't think about until college, really. And so being able to kind of learn the skills that are going to be needed down the line as early as possible. And I think it's something that you're seeing a lot, especially in sports, where basketball, you got like 8-year-olds that have better dribbling skills than some sophomores some sophomores in high school. And it's just like, how do they learn that? Because you introduce it to them. It's like, you think, oh, they're kids, they're not going to learn. No, they're kids. They're sponges. You throw anything at them, they're going to accept it. They're going to take it in. It's just the sooner you get it to them, the faster they get to learn it. And I think one of those things is, I think outliers. I think as they were saying, like 10,000 hours to become a freshman in anything you want to do. So the faster you get to those 10,000 hours, the faster you get to it. And that's just introducing it and keeping them involved in it and keeping them going. And so like, that's kind of the route we're taking with it and trying to get them involved with it as soon as possible. And while getting them in the door for whether it's basketball or whatever sport that we're working with at that time, but then also bringing in the off the court stuff as well to kind of help them to make sure that they follow that right path to help them get to where they want to go.
No, I love that. And that's incredibly important. One of the things I'm such a big believer in terms of the on the court, on the field, off the court stuff is me coming from the baseball background. I've talked about this, you know, with various people on the show even, is just the same with basketball, just the same with football. You know, you're playing, you want to go professionally in many cases, you know, and that was also my goal. I was going to play until I stopped. And for so long, because I believed like, all right, if I was going to make it, I needed to eat, drink, sleep, breathe, do everything baseball. Because that's what you think it takes to make it, right? And anything outside of that would take away from my ability to do that. But what I began to discover here, you know, in college and, you know, towards the end of my playing career at Lynn was all the things that I was involved in, journalism, being an RA, just hanging out with my friends that were not baseball players, all the stuff that I thought would take away from it actually added to it. Because now I can go 0-for-4, and yeah, it still sucks because I'm a competitor. I want to win. But I know that once baseball's over for that day, there's so much more around life. And then I'm not going into baseball with so much pressure because I know it's a part of me, not entirely who I am. And so that's why I think that off the court stuff is so important, because it helps you become a better player in whatever sport you are in, you know?
And it also helps you, it's a tool. And once you understand it's a tool, it's a way to get you where you want to go. And so it's like, okay, so you want to play basketball. That's cool. Like, I love playing basketball as well. But I had a goal in mind. Like, when I went to go play pro, it was to go start businesses. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to save up, go play ball. I knew I probably wasn't going to make the NBA, but I knew I was going to play overseas. Mm-hmm. So I was going to go overseas, stack my money up, and I was going to start businesses. Like, that was my whole game plan from when I was like 16 years old. I was like, that's my route. That's why I wanted to go to business school, because I wanted to be able to set up my businesses and do what I wanted to do. And so that's being able to have that plan and be able to have the kids say, okay, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. And how can basketball help me get to that goal? And that's kind of where then the conversation starts, and we can start the game plan, and we can start to look into different ways of being able to help people get to that area.
No, that's awesome. So as we're coming to the end here, where is All Nets going from here? What's the plan moving forward for All Nets?
From here, we're finishing up our last season. We're finishing up our summer sessions, which is our travel basketball and some basketball clinics that we were able to do over the summer. We're expanding, hopefully, to be able to work with younger students. So looking into work with the 7 to 14 year year olds, because we're finding out, like, fundamentally, our high school and middle schoolers are not fundamentally sound. So being able to help them with the fundamentals and getting them used to the discipline that is needed to be able to grow in the game, and sooner, getting there sooner, teaching them, hey, like, you got to have your grades sooner. So then when they get there, it's like, oh, they have these habits already. And it's like, oh, you have to break old habits, bad habits, to be able to get to the good habits and get them started. And as we catch them earlier, we'll be able to kind of help them each step of the way so that they already have the tools. They already have the mindset and everything to be successful going forward. So we're looking to set up a basketball league in Belgrade, and hopefully one here in Boynton Beach here. Shortly after that, and that's kind of what the goal is, and be able to expand the leadership program, and that's where we're at this moment.
I love that. Only up from here. It's only growing bigger and better. So it's cool stuff.
Bigger and better.
Hey, that board of directors is expanding. It's out of necessity. So as we're coming to the end of the show here, it's time to cash out. And this is where you leave us with your biggest piece of advice, most valuable piece of advice, tip, lesson, anything you've learned from your journey, and share it with us as we wrap up here. So what do you have for us today?
It's perseverance. I think it's one of those things that you, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, you're going to be in a place where you don't want to be. But it's like, you can't let that get to you. You got to keep pushing forwards. You got to always keep moving forward. And even those times where you have to take a step back, knowing that you're taking a step back to be able to move forward. And I think that's one of those things that you have to just, it's one of those things just to keep going. And so that would be my cash out for the.
I love it. It's short, it's sweet, but so, so powerful. So Roy, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. I loved every second of it, and keep up the great work, because you're really making an impact. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for having me.